Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
I remember last week we really zeroed in on John 15, and I'd like to read it one more time, and then we'll move into an encouragement here this morning over the next half hour. John 15, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's just let that absorb in as we pray and ask the Spirit of truth to lead us into truth. Spirit of revelation, you reveal things to us. You give us insight. You speak to our hearts in ways that only you can, because you know the intricacies of our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so we welcome you to speak right here now, and we receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so here we are, you know, the week of Christmas and the Advent, the celebration of the Messiah's coming. Thank you, Dave, so much for that this morning. It's always really great to hear your singing voice. Thank you for that. And it kind of brings us back around to the question of why he came. And you definitely touched that, Dave, in the Advent encouragement when you shared John 3:16. Of course, we know that verse. We can quote it, many of us. And we know that it was God's love that compelled him. You know, he so loved the world that he gave his son so that we wouldn't perish but have eternal life. And I suspect that he came for more than just to give eternal life after we die. And that's the thing that I really want to zero in on a bit this morning. I think it was God's desire that we not go to hell. I mean, I don't think he wants any of us to perish. I don't think he wants any of us to live in eternity separated from the love that he intends for us to receive and live in. So I absolutely know that the gift of eternal life means that. I mean, going to heaven. And we also know that, here's what I believe. I think that if I had even an inkling of a sense of how terrible that would be, you know, to be in hell, if I had any clue what the lake of fire really is, I would be okay with just leaving it there. Okay, good. We're not going to go there. And yet there's more. Like, it's deeper. There's a sense that God wants us to understand that, as Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And so eternity is now. Eternity begins, well, it doesn't begin and it doesn't end, so we're in it. And so we have this idea that eternity and eternal life is for us here and now. So I'm aware of a deeper, more real-time gift of Jesus coming to us that he wants to give to us. And it is life now, and it is peace now, and hope now, and joy now, and love now. It's all of these things now. And I'm also all too aware of the fact that we suffer under the weight of life here on the earth. We suffer. We have self-hatred that we work through. We have depression that we work through. We have hopelessness and we have fear. And so I never want to like live in this place of absolute denial where we cannot touch our humanity, because God knows this also very well. He knows where we're at. He knows the condition of our lives. And that's the reason why he came, is because he recognized that this is no way to live. Like, in the long term, we have seasons, we have loss, we have grief, we have all of these things that are real to us, and we don't play a denial game, and we don't dissociate from our pain and all of that. We come to him with it because he wants to meet us in that place. That's why Jesus came. So the Father knows our humanity very well, and this is why Jesus came. He came to give life abundant. And this is why we abide in Christ. You know, we abide in Christ, and I love the word abide. The Greek word for it is meno, M-E-N-O, meno, and it's to remain. And so there's a couple of different references to it. Like in reference to place, we remain in the present state. Like we remain with, we're held, we're kept, and it's a continual holding. It's a continual presence that we're with the Lord in that place. And in reference to time, we continue to be. So that means that there's no perishing, which to me, this word really makes sense when he talks about, I've come to give you life eternal. It's an enduring life. It's a life that lasts. And so in reference to our condition, so we have a reference to place and to time and to condition. The reference of this word to abide in, as a condition of our lives, is to remain as one. So for us to abide in Christ and for Christ to abide in us, there is a union that this speaks of. And it's a union where we continue to be present with Christ and Christ continues to be present with us. We are held, we are kept continually. And it endures. And so the question then is, how is it that we abide in Christ? I think one way that we abide in Christ is we remain in his teachings. In fact, we're encouraged in 2 John 1:9, it says this, anyone who does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teachings, he has both the Father and the Son. So we abide in the teachings. And as we'll see here, it's not enough that I abide in some aspect of Jesus. Like, for example, it's not enough that I abide in his teachings alone. I also have to let that aspect of Jesus abide in me. I in you, you in me. It's not enough that I would have understanding of the scripture. I have to let that scripture and that truth and the teachings of Jesus come and abide in me. And that's why the psalmist writes in 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you or that I might not lose my way, you know, because his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so here we are, we have this condition of being one with the words of Christ, and that's what's preserving my heart and making me alive. Another way that we abide in Christ and he in us is with his presence. So we have his teachings and his presence, and I'm actually kind of hesitant to even compartmentalize this because I think they're one and the same. He is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So for us to come into a place of awareness of his presence and we abide in his presence, I mean, listen to this. These are several passages right out of Psalms, and I love the heart of David, which we recognize that God himself says, you're a man after my heart, to the psalmist. And so here we have Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life, which is your word, right? You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Okay, this sounds a whole lot like life. It sounds like the uplift of this is why Jesus came. He came to not only give us understanding of his teachings and his ways so that we have a path that we can walk, that we have a light to our way, but he's also filled us with joy in his presence. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. So we can talk about hope and peace and love and joy and these things as conceptual. They really do come from the abiding presence of the person Christ Jesus. Psalm 89:15, blessed are those who learn to acclaim me, who walk in the light of my presence. We've heard that wise men still seek the presence of Jesus, right? And so we can do that. And this is one of my favorites here. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? Or it says flee. Like there's a couple of ideas here that it's not just enough that I would wander off aimlessly. Where can I go and escape your presence? There are some people who have it set in their heart that they're going to run from God, right? And even in that running, where can I go to escape your presence? If I were to go up to the heavens, you are there. If I were to make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. That sounds like the abiding place, isn't it? Being held. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So again, in this relationship with Jesus, we abide in his presence, and his presence abides together with us. So it's both. And as we see here, his presence is as real as the next breath that you're going to breathe right now. The first scripture that I ever memorized when I was a kid, you might be surprised by this one. It was actually Genesis 2:7. Anybody know that one? Like I said, it's probably not on your fridge. But it does say this, that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I was probably 8 years old when I memorized that first verse I ever memorized. And I have a feeling, and it has been a thread that's walked through my life. I have a feeling that the Lord said it in me, and he's placed that verse in me because I'm fascinated with the breath of God. I'm fascinated with his presence. To me, they're one and the same. And this is why, you know, we find this encouragement out of Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Right now. Real time. Because he's still breathing life into you and I. And so, have you ever tried, let me ask you this, have you ever tried to breathe underwater? Okay, there's nothing that will end you quicker than trying to live in an environment that is hostile to you. You were not created to live underwater. Okay, and so how many of you honestly have ever had a near-drowning experience? It's terrifying, isn't it? Absolutely. And yet, much like flying, some of us have a fascination. It's like, oh my, there's a whole world under there, and I want to go see it. Mm-hmm. So over the last 2 days, people, I have been in New Mexico at a place called the Blue Hole, and I have been certified to scuba dive, which is really fun. It's so fun. And some of you might be thinking, okay, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal, you know, because A, I was not born with the capacity to breathe underwater, and therefore I have to learn how to do it with the technology that they have. So hold tight 1 second here. Wait a minute. I got something I want to show you. Uh-huh. This is about to happen, people. All right. So here we are. I brought something along because I wanted to show you a little something here. Ugh. That's heavy. That doesn't even have the weights in it yet. Can I get a volunteer? Come here. All right, so here's what I want you to do. All right, I think we got enough for this. All right, I want you to put that on your back. Hold on a second. Somebody help him out. Come here. No, no. Help him out here. Now, it is a medium, so, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out for you there, Stu. All right. Good deal. Now, I'm going to let you hang out there for a second. And I want you to do something for me, all right? I want you to take this, and I want you to put that. Wait, hold on. Let me check. Yeah, don't put yeah, okay. Okay, plug your nose. Okay, go ahead and breathe for me. Is that working? Go. You got to blow out. In and out. There it is. There it is. Now, the real surprise is this, Stuart. I feel the baptism for you. I'm just kidding. You could take it off.
My volunteer only goes so far.
He said he would only volunteer so far. All right, so I just wanted to show you that. So this is a buoyancy control device right here, BCD. And this BCD not only holds this tank that has a lot of compressed air in it, 3,000 pounds, and it goes through a regulator that reduces that to 130 pounds so you can actually breathe it without blowing out your lungs. And it not only has a regulator for you personally, wait over here, but the brightly colored one is for your panicking friend who's down there with you who just ran out of air. So you have a buddy system, and you have a supply not only for yourself but also for them. And what's interesting about this is you actually add weights. In fact, I had about 14 pounds of lead that was inside different compartments here on this BCD. And that's a lot of weight to carry around. I mean, you felt it. And you add 14 more pounds, you add your wetsuit, it's a lot of weight. And yet, when you get in the water, it's the only place on the planet where you can achieve neutral buoyancy. Because this tank not only supplies you air to breathe, but it also fills up compartments within this bag with air, and that will create that buoyancy for you. So you can become completely weightless. Absolutely weightless. And you can hang out down there for some time. Now, I just wanted to bring that because, A, it's pretty cool. And, B, some of you live in hostile environments. Some of you, we all live on planet Earth. We all live in a fallen world. And we were actually never created to exist in the condition of the world that it is right now. And that's why the presence of the Lord is so important for us. That's why wherever we go, we carry the presence of the Lord with us into that place. And when our burdens feel incredibly heavy for us, there's a way for us to experience uplift, and it's in the presence of the Lord. And so when you go to your work environment, or you go to your family's gathering this week, or you go wherever you go on planet Earth, and you find yourself in the presence of people who are not sharing the same life that you are, you not only have a capacity to, you know, make it through, more than that, you have a supply for them. So invite them in close. Now, what they tell me, honestly, is that if somebody's really in a panic, they're not going to reach for the brightly yellow one. They're going to reach for the plug that's in your mouth. And so often, it's not so much about getting that spare one to your friend. It's about finding the spare one for yourself after they pulled that one out of your mouth. And yet, we've developed a capacity as human beings to compensate. There's plenty of people who don't feel that desperation, even in their own hearts, that they need the presence of the Lord, that they need the very breath of God to continually fill them up. Don't you love that? Such a great analogy. And you know, I could end it right here about the abiding teachings of Christ, about the abiding presence of Christ. But as you brought this morning, Dave, we're also abiding in his love. And his love is abiding in us. So it's mutual. And it brings us right to 1 John 3:18 that says, "Do not let love be with words or tongue alone, but let it be with actions and in truth. This then is how you know that you belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." So we have the truth of God, his teachings that we abide in, and his teachings abide in us. We have his presence that we abide in, and his presence abides in us. But it is his love that binds all of these things together for us. Again, I'll say it this way. I'll read it right here. We know that we belong to the truth, and how we have set our hearts at rest in his presence. It's through the love that we connect with. It's through the love that we express. And so the abiding love of Christ is what ties it all together. And so this brings me to a place in my encouragement where I want to turn a page. And I want to just remind us that it goes beyond God's willingness to bring his son to the earth as a gift so that we can have joy and love and peace and hope, so that we can have the abiding presence of God that gives us the capacity to walk through this world and to share it with others and to, you know, have neutral buoyancy, as it were. Didn't Jesus say that? I mean, my burden is light. So we can connect with all of that stuff, right? We have these benefits. And I can end my message with that. But I actually want to turn the coin. And I want to see what's on the other side of it. And I want to ask some questions that I've actually not really heard too many people asking. And you might find it a bit sacrilegious. You might actually struggle with this one a bit. Because it has to do with the question of, what benefit is there to Christ himself to abide in you? We're all up into these are benefits for us if we abide in Christ. I'm fruitful, I have life, all this stuff. Turn the coin and ask the question, what benefit is there to Christ himself? Was the reason he came on Christmas simply to save us and to give us a way to exist in this world with some hope and some love and some peace? Or was there something deeper in his mind that motivated him, in his heart, that brought him here to make a way for us? And I have it in my heart that there is a tremendous gift that Jesus is receiving as well. This is not one way. It's not just about what we receive, although that's amazing. And we can praise God for it. We can be so grateful. And trust me, I'm not going to lay down the guilt card or any of that kind of stuff now. None of that. What I'm saying is, it was in the heart of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus would receive something by coming to earth and creating a way so that he could abide in us. The narrative has started all throughout the scripture, from the very beginning of the prophets of old, all the way through to the book of Revelation. You will find a thread that speaks of this tremendous gift that Jesus receives when he abides with us. Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will extol in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as his bride adorns herself with jewels. Isaiah 62:5. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Could it be that God not only sent Jesus because of his great love for you, but also because of his great love for his son? What if, in this mutual abiding place, we are the fulfillment of his deep longing? And what if we're not the only ones receiving an inheritance? Imagine the Father providing an inheritance for his beloved Son. What would the King of Glory long for? I mean, he created all things, and yet he gave you and I the free will to love him, to choose him, to abide in him. The Lord didn't need an army. His angels are really good at that. The Lord didn't even need a servant. Again, his angels, pretty good at that. But one thing that the angels could not give and that his heart longed for was a bride. And so that's you and I. Song of Solomon 4:10-11, it says this: your lips, my bride, drip honey. Okay, this is going to get weird for some of you. The bridal paradigm is usually reserved for those guys over there who are just really ardent worshipers. And I'm not really saying that you have to go on date night with Jesus now, but I am saying this, that there is a reality of who you are for Jesus that you can lay hold of, and it can change your perspective on how you relate to him. That there is a mutual abiding in this relationship. That what would motivate your heart isn't a compulsion or some hope of fulfilling some, I don't know what, list. But your abiding is a response to love. The fragrance of your garment is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my bride. That's you. There's a secret place that is reserved in you for Jesus. A garden locked, a spring sealed up. Just if we respond with gratitude to what the Lord is saying to us here this morning, I think that might clear out some of the arguments. We can just receive it. We can acknowledge it as real. We can be grateful for it. And we can recognize that our response and our stepping towards the person of Jesus makes his heart come alive. In the sense of he responds. Like he... All right, what I'm hearing the Lord say is you can't talk people into this. So put your hands out like it's Christmas. Jesus, in your name, I pray for your Holy Spirit to ascend upon us and for your presence to wash over us and for your abiding presence to connect deeply with our hearts in a way that awakens us to this reality. It's only by your Spirit that we can understand the depth of this. And so, Spirit of Revelation, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts. Let us know it in deeper ways. And we do say thank you. And so I pray for the presence of Jesus to go with you, for you to be on a journey this week of discovering more deeply just the longing of Jesus for your heart.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.
And so I pray for the presence of Jesus to go with you, for you to be on a journey this week of discovering more deeply just the longing of Jesus for your heart. As your brother in Christ and as your friend, I'm going to pray a prayer of intercession for you. Because the voices of discouragement and diminishment It's like every day, but there's something special about now where we as family and friends, we gather with the sole purpose of celebrating your coming. So we do that now. In Jesus' name, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, I don't know what to say. I got a little bit wrecked because I got a sense of God's heart for you and for me. And the beauty of it is, it's like, okay, and I was going to launch into this whole other thing, but I'm not. I'm going to save that for next week. So here's the teaser. This is not an independent thing. You as individuals experience this, but we as the church, we hold this bridal paradigm. It's the church who's his bride. It's the church, us together. And so there's something even deeper that the Lord's calling us to have this shared experience of the abiding place with Christ. So with that, I'll leave you there. And thank you so much for just your time, your attention. Thanks, Stuart, for being brave. I was only kidding about the baptism. It's not really cool. All right, you guys, bless you and have a wonderful holiday. If you're traveling, be safe. And we'll see you on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Thank you. Hey, Leslie, was there something you were going to do for us? Okay, before you walk out the doors, Leslie has something from the kids. The kids, in addition to the ornaments that have the names of families and people that we're praying for, the kids made ornaments for you to take home so you can put them on your tree. All right, isn't that sweet? So make sure you grab one of those on the way out. Thank you. So the Highway 24 is closed at Cascade, both directions. There's some kind of home invasion thing happening, right? Right now. So Father, we just want to lift that situation up to you, to all the emergency response people, to the families involved, to the people that are in the surrounding areas, and we just pray for your mercy and your grace on that situation. And we pray, Father, that it would come to a quick end without violence and without anyone being hurt. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you were aiming for the pass, you might get hung up for a little while. So, yep, there it is.